regard to rightly dividing the word of truth, and all of it dating back to considering the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf compared to our work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And for an individual to understand that, he needs to understand the distinction between the things, the material in the Scripture, that was written to the church at Jerusalem, which was strictly Jewish, as compared to those things that were written through the Apostle Paul to the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, let's compare some scripture here. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, talking to Peter now, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That is the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." All right, then, I know that the church that is referred to there is not the church of Acts chapter 7. Turn there, please. In Acts chapter 7, in this particular case, Stephen is preaching unto these people about, in other words, he's proving to them that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he's referring to Moses, how that they rejected Moses, as in verse 35. "This Moses, whom they refused, saying," so forth and so on. In other words, just as they refused Moses, they refused the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 37, "This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear. This is he," reference to Moses, "that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel," so forth and so on. Well, then I know that Israel, as a nation coming out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea and so forth, Israel as a nation are also a church. And it's called a church in the wilderness. Moses is the leader. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. But wait a minute, I'm trying to show you that that church, that nation, is not that of Matthew chapter 16. Now look again in Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus, speaking to Peter, said, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So I know the church, then, that is referred to, the assembly that is referred to in Matthew 16, verse 18, is not the same as that assembly that was in the wilderness. It is not that assembly that Moses led. Turn, please, to Hebrews, and notice in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm trying to show you, in case you're not already aware of this, that just because you see the word church in the Bible, it doesn't mean that it's always the same church. Some people believe that the body of Christ began with Adam in the Garden of Eden and comes all the way through the Bible. But that's nonsense to an individual that believes the Bible means what it says. There are more than one assembly in this Bible, and all of them are God's church. The church of God, the church of God could be that assembly in the wilderness. The church of God could be the 144,000 of the book of Revelation. The church of God could be that which is the body of Christ, and all of them are God's church. God gave his son to die for their sins. They're all God's church, but they're not all the same assembly. Now, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." So then that church in the wilderness is called a nation, but it's called a house. And Moses was the head. Verse 3, "For this man," the Lord Jesus Christ, "this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded the house hath more honor than the house. But every house is builded by some man, but he that build all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoice in the hope firm unto the end." Now, that is that church that we talked about last week that is strictly Jewish. We're reading in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews are Hebrews. The Jews are Hebrews. That church is Jewish, which we tried to prove last week. Now, notice then in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. In Acts 8, verse 1, "And Saul was consenting unto his," that is, Stephen's, "death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem." Well, that church which was at Jerusalem is the church of Matthew 16, verse 18, when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." What is that rock? Well, it has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the terminology is expressed in Peter's words, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That church is the church which was at Jerusalem. Notice in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea," so forth and so on. Come to verse 22. "You men of Israel, hear these words." Come to verse 36. In verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly," that is, Judah and Israel, the two tribes of Benjamin and Judah, as well as the 10 so-called lost tribes, all the house of Israel. Verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, those that did, what happened to them? They decided that they had crucified the Messiah. They decided that what Peter said was true. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is the Son of David, the heir to the throne of David, and we've crucified him. Now what must we do? And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins." In other words, they repented. They changed their mind. They changed their mind and their attitude. They had said, "Away with this man, crucify this man, we have no king but Caesar." They changed their mind and are saying, in effect, that man that we crucified is the King of Israel. That man that we crucified is the Son of God. He is the Son of Abraham, the Son of David, the heir to the throne, our King. And they repented, that is, changed their mind about it, and were identified with him in water baptism, looking unto the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they would receive remission of sins. That is called the church at Jerusalem. That church at Jerusalem is a Hebrew church, and the book of Hebrews is written to that church. The book of James is written to that church. Notice in James chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. The book of James is written to the 12 tribes. Well, but you say, but whoa, wait a minute. He said those at Jerusalem. Why, certainly. They of the 12 tribes scattered abroad came back on the day of Pentecost, and they are assembled there on the day of Pentecost. Hence, Peter said, you men of Judea, and he said, you men of Israel, and he said, let all Israel know assuredly, on and on and on. So it's called the church at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem is a Hebrew church. It is Jewish, and any Gentile that becomes involved is involved because that he blessed them. Notice, in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, and gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. Notice this is in one accord of what God said would take place. Notice in Genesis chapter 12. Write it down if you don't have your Bible. If you have your Bible, turn back there. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and bless thy name. And thou shalt be make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thy name, and in thee, rather, shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, God Almighty made a promise there. He made a promise that anybody that would bless the seed of Abraham, God would bless. Cornelius blessed the seed of Abraham, and God blessed Cornelius. Now, God didn't save Cornelius because he blessed the seed of Abraham. God told Cornelius, sent an angel, and the angel talked to him, the angel of the Lord talked to Cornelius, and said, send and get Peter, and he will come and tell you what to do. But notice Peter's attitude in Acts 10, verse 28. He said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or to come unto one of another nation, on and on and on. So Peter believed that he was different than Cornelius, and he was. But nevertheless, he said, why did you send for me? Notice what he told him. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Well, what did Cornelius do? Back in 10:1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, verse 2, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He blessed the seed of Abraham. End result, Peter preached unto him. He received the Holy Spirit as a sign to those Jews that the Lord had saved him. So then, there's a church in the wilderness back there. Moses the head. There's a church at Jerusalem. Jesus Christ the head. The one they had crucified. He's that head of that church there. And then there's the church which is the body of Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, notice in he in verse 20 and 21, he's referring to what the Lord did in raising Jesus up. And verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Well, then there's the church in the wilderness, there's the church at Jerusalem, and the church which is his body. The church in the wilderness is a nation. It's called the nation Israel. The church which is at Jerusalem is a new nation. Turn, please, to 1 Peter. And notice in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, notice in verse 9, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That church back there, that church in Exodus, church in the wilderness, that church that was baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, that church has the same things said about them. In fact, turn back. Hold on to 1 Peter and turn to Exodus. And look in Exodus chapter 19. If you don't have a Bible, write it down. Exodus chapter 19, verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. All the earth is mine. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Mark it, hold it there, and look in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, as those back there were, a royal priesthood, as those back there were, an holy nation, as those back there were, a peculiar people, as those back there were, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, and on and on and on. There isn't any doubt about it. That nation of people back there that were led by Moses out of Egypt are called a church, the church in the wilderness. That church are a church made up of priests. They are a priesthood. They're a holy nation. They're a peculiar people, and so forth. They were redeemed by blood. They were baptized, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in the Jordan, in the Red Sea, and in the cloud unto Moses. This over here at Jerusalem is called the church at Jerusalem. It is Hebrew and Jewish. It is led by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a nation. 1 Peter chapter 2, it is an holy nation, it is a peculiar people, it is a church, it is a priesthood, it is redeemed by the blood of a lamb, and they are baptized with the baptism of repentance, and you couldn't miss that if you believe words mean what they say in comparing Scripture with Scripture. Every Church of Christ preacher in the world today has his doctrine more or less right, except he doesn't know the distinction between dispensations. And he's taking that which was offered to Israel, about Israel, for Israel, to Israel, and on, he's taken all of that and applying it to Gentiles because he saw that Gentiles are brought in back there. But those Gentiles that were brought in back there blessed the seed of Abraham. They blessed Israel. You didn't. That Church of Christ preacher didn't. None of you did, because Israel is lo am I, according to the Scripture. They are now not God's people and won't be until after the church, which is the body of Christ, is finished and taken out and God starts dealing with them again, as in Hebrews through Revelation. So there is a church in here that's called the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, notice some distinctions about, we showed last week that church is Jewish. Notice the gospel that is preached unto them is the gospel of the kingdom. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What about that ministry? Notice in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for remission of sin. Why, folks, the baptism and the preaching and whatever of Acts chapter 2 hasn't changed from John the Baptist. John the Baptist is preaching the gospel of the kingdom, so is Peter in Acts chapter 2. I mean, they're the same. They are the baptism of repentance for remission of sin. In other words, baptism after repentance, looking unto remission of sins at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ preached it according to Matthew chapter 4, preached the gospel of the kingdom. The 12 preached it. And notice something about them. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, in the inner city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They preached the gospel of the kingdom. Peter preached the gospel of the kingdom. He's sent forth there. He's told where to go, what to preach, and what to expect. Anybody that reads chapter 10 in Matthew, look at it closely. Read it. Study it. Matthew 10. Can't miss the fact that the message of Matthew chapter 10 is to extend all the way to the coming of the Lord. It's Israel only. It just completely excludes that period of time in which you live. And to make it include that is to twist the Scriptures for your own benefit. And that's an evil motive. Notice something about this. In Matthew chapter 16, after Peter had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 16, verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say you that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon this testimony, upon Jesus Christ, the fact that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail again. Peter had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The baptism of repentance for remission of sins. He'd been preaching that to this point. Now notice, verse 21, Matthew 16, 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and be raised again from the dead. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. How about that? John the Baptist preached the gospel of the kingdom, but didn't know that Jesus Christ was going to die. The apostles preached the gospel of the kingdom. repentance and baptism for remission of sins, but didn't know that Jesus Christ was going to die. Come on, Jesus sent them forth with that gospel message and said, go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And they did. And then later on, he said, who do people say that I am? And they said, some say one thing and some another. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then tells them, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed and raised again the third day. And Peter said, not so, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Now, you that are listening to me, if you believe the Bible, you know that the gospel of the kingdom preached by John the Baptist and the 12 apostles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John does not include the fact that he died for anybody's sins. And to twist and finagle and warp the scriptures just so you can get baptism into this age over here is crooked, is deceitful, and is wrong. What about this gospel message over here? Well, this gospel message that is preached by Paul was given by the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, just the same as the Lord gave Peter a minister back there. But what's the difference in it? Paul's message is Christ died for your sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. What do you have to do? You don't have to do anything, go anywhere. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must trust him as your Lord and Savior, believing that he died for your sins at Calvary and was buried and rose again. The Bible said that God made him to be sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. The term is trust in the Lord with all your heart.